Hey, this is James Gall. I'm an Encounters Network, and I have one of the greatest messages that I'm going to bring you right now that's inspirational, historical, and it is full of faith and testimony and life. And this is just for you. I've been praying about this for a long time, and it's called Angels Aware. So let's pray together and we'll get right to it. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to come into the homes of these awesome, wonderful believers in Jesus and Yeshua. I just bless them right now. I just thank you for the illumination of the spirit of revelation resting upon your word. And I just call forth for burning heart experiences for these wonderful people who are listening to this, a message on Angels Aware in Jesus' name. You say, Angels Aware? I thought it was Angels Unaware. Well, work with me for a moment. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by some have entertained angels without knowing it. I think King James, one of the translations, will say angels unaware. So I am taking this and turning it another realm. Because get this, if it is possible to entertain angels unaware, when your spiritual senses become heightened, I believe it is biblically more than possible to partner with angels aware. So that's why I'm calling this message Angels Aware. Now, work with me for a minute. Angels unaware. And a way that you can entertain angels, it says entertain them, is by showing hospitality to strangers. Because that stranger might not be as strange as you think. That stranger might be from the heavenly army sent down into the earth realm and is a part of the heavenly host. Now, if we're called to walk in kindness and in hospitality, because that person that you're going to show it to might not just be from this planet, but might be sent from heaven as a messenger, someone to release a presence of the Lord into your life. And so it's really important how we treat one another and important how we relate to the heavenly host. Let love of the brethren continue. Hebrews 13:1. Verse 2, not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels unaware. Well, I think it isn't only that we can entertain them unaware. I'm totally convinced we can partner with them being aware. Let's look at a few more Bible verses. For some of you, this is review, but it's awesome. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. And that is a quote from Psalm 104, verse 4. And of his angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Then in verse 14 of chapter 1, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Well, who is this referring to, that they are ministering spirits? And it says that they do something particular. They render service. They bring help. They bring ministry to those who what? Inherit salvation. Who inherits salvation? We do. The believers do. You, right now, listening to this, you are an inheritor in Christ Jesus of salvation. But verse 13 says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? So it's contrasting Jesus, of course, and we never worship angels. We worship with angels, but we are called to never worship angels according to the book of Colossians. But we can be aware of their ministry and learn to partner with them. Are they not ministering spirits? So angels are a classification of spirits. There's demonic spirits, there's the Holy Spirit, there's the human spirit, there's the similitude of God, and there are the ministering spirits, the angels of God. And there's many categories of angels. And I'm going to go back now to verse 7. They're ministering spirits. Sit to minister unto those who inherit salvation. Now let's go back to Hebrews 1:7 again. And of the angels, he says, okay, word specific about angels. And of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and he makes his ministers a flame of fire. Wow. Now, I remember years ago, let me tell a Bob Jones story. And some of you might not know who Bob Jones is. He graduated to be with in heaven on February 14th, 2014. Bob Jones was one of the higher level seer prophets of this last generation. And I had the pleasure in Kansas City of sitting at Bob's right hand, and many of you know this, for many appointments in his home and ministering with him in many places, as did many people. And obviously, this goes back into a whole era that was called the Kansas City Prophets, and then all the prophetic movement that came forth in its multiple locations with multiple expressions in 1988. And I will not go through all of that history, but I remember being as a younger man. So I'm going to dial the clock back like at least 25 years ago, at least 25, more like 30. And I'd be in Bob Jones's home, and some of you might be listening to this, you're going, I remember that, I relate to this. And this, like, man whose head was in heaven and his feet on earth. And he would tell us all these outrageous, crazy, amazing things. And then he would say something to us like, well, did you feel the wind on it? And we would look at each other and go, what? What are you saying? Did you feel the wind on it? And Bob was so sensitive to this heavenly supernatural dimension. And so when he was actually saying, did you feel the wind on it? Bob did, because his senses and his seer capacity and his feeler capacity, his touch and his hearing and his sight, and it was illuminated by the Holy Spirit in a seer prophetic gift. And he would say, did you feel the wind on it? And we would probably all kind of sit there and go, yeah, I got it. Or he would say, did you get it? And we'd go, yeah, we got it. And then we'd get in our car. We'd drive away. We'd look at each other and say, well, did you get it? I didn't get it. I said, did you feel any wind on that? I didn't feel anything. Okay, no, I didn't used to feel. But I do feel more now than I did back then. I love this. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. So what Bob was saying in his maybe archaic manner, he was saying, did you feel the wind on it? He was meaning there's angelic witness here right now to this word, to this prophetic revelation I'm sharing. You feel the wind? Sometimes when the winds come, they're obviously, they're just natural winds. Sometimes when the wind comes, it's of another dimension. It's heavenly. And it says, and his minister is a flame of fire. Have you ever felt heat come on you? And you wondered, what is it? Of course, it's a realm of the Holy Spirit. Spirit. But the angelic also comes in a realm of fire. The fire of God. And so yes, it's Holy Spirit, but it can also be a manifestation that the angels are present. And so that's why I'm saying it isn't only you can entertain angels unaware, you can partner with angels aware. Now, let's look at another verse just to kind of let me amplify this. I'm going to later, I'm going to write a whole nother new book on called The Discerner. And I wrote a book called Angelic Encounters, Engaging Help from Heaven. I literally collected over 100 books on angels. And on three different decades, I studied around all 300 verses in the Bible over a 30-year period. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, but solid food is for the mature. That's Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It says they, this is not the immature, this is not the unlearned. These are those who are moving on into maturity. But solid food is for the mature. And here's how you mature. You practice. You practice what? Part of what you do is you practice their senses being submitted and surrendered unto God, unto His Word, unto the present day empowering of the Holy Spirit. And they are senses, they practice and train their senses to discern good and evil. Wow. So their senses, is that common sense? Well, that would be awesome if it is. But what is it? Our senses. Our sight, our hearing, our taste, our smelling, our touch. Some will feel the wind. Some will feel the fire. Some will see the fire. Some will know the fire. Some will know the winds are present. Some will sense that the atmosphere just shifted. I'm telling you, when atmospheres shift like that and the fear of the Lord comes, or the manifested presence of like the fragrance of Christ arrives in a room or in a meeting or in a facility or wherever. I've had this happen so many times. That's often angelic activity. And at the close of this message, I'm going to pray for our senses to be heightened so that we might discern the Holy Spirit, that we might discern and then partner with angels. Now, I am going to read to you from my book, Angelic Encounters, for a moment. And, I just love this so much. Ezekiel's vision of God's throne are the greatest and the most mysterious, even disturbing visions in the Bible. And Ezekiel describes a cherubim. Now the cherubim were standing, and this is Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, 8 to 14. Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered. The cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and to the threshold of the temple, and the temple filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord. That could have been a realm of the fire of God. Moreover, the sound of the wings, here we have ears being opened, of the cherubim was heard as far as the outer court, like the voice of the Almighty God when He speaks. The cherubim appeared to have a form of a man's hand under their wings. I looked, and behold, four wheels besides the cherubim, one wheel beside each cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was like a gleam of tarnished stone. As for their appearance, all four of them had the same likeness, as if one wheel were within another wheel. When they moved, they went in their four directions without turning as they went. But they followed in the direction that they faced without turning as they went. And their whole body, their backs, their hands, their wings, their wheels, were full of eyes all around, and the wheels belonging to all four of them. The wheels were called in my hearing the wheeling wheels, and each one had four faces. The first one was the face of a cherub. The second was the face of a man. The third was the face of a lion. The fourth was the face of an eagle. Ezekiel chapter 10. The Hebrew used in this chapter is very obscure, mixed masculine and feminine form, singular and plural. Perhaps Ezekiel was trying to describe the unity and the plurality of the divine presence. Earlier in the book, he describes the cherubim as living creatures who are fiery. You got to get this word down. The cherubim are especially messengers of fire. They are fiery. They are humanoids with four hands, four wings, four faces. One face is human. The face on the left looks like a bull's face. The face on the right looks like a lion's face. And then the last face looks like that of an eagle. And each went forth where the spirit was about to go. And that's what angels do. Angels even help prepare the way for the Holy Spirit and help point the direction and go, he's going this way. And they would go without turning as they went. How could Ezekiel describe something that is beyond words? And others, such as John in writing in the book of Revelations, did the best he could to describe something that you would have to see for yourself to believe. Moses was instructed to portray cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. The specific description is found in Exodus 25:18-22 and is alluded to in Hebrews 9:5. The singular of cherubim is cherub, and there were two separate ones on the opposite end of the ark, made of one piece with the mercy seat. The Bible tells us that God rides upon the cherub. I'd like to see that sometime. Look at Psalm 18:10. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He sped upon the wings of the wind. 2 Samuel 22:11, and he rode on the cherub and flew, and he appeared on the wings of the wind. I guess it's only naturally supernatural for him to do so. After all, he's enthroned above the cherubim. 2 Samuel 6:2. I'm going to continue reading just for a moment. Seraphim. Like cherubim, the word seraphim is plural. The singular form is seraph. The word means burning one. The seraphim are described having six wings, and they lift up a continual cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Mercy. And so that's just a tiny portion from my book, Angelic Encounters. Now, you see, I'm not talking just from only from Scripture. That'd be good enough. And I can talk to you from many, many sources of Jewish and church history, and that alone would be good enough. But I can also talk to you from out of experience. Some of you know. Let me give you a few stories. A while back, and this is written in my book, The Coming Israel Awakening, I was at home in Franklin, Tennessee. I was resting, and the Holy Spirit said to me over and over and over that day, he said, "The winds are coming. The winds are coming." And I go, "Oh, really? Okay, whatever." And yet, but he persisted. "The winds are coming." I just didn't get what he was saying. I heard it. I heard it so many times. That's all he said over and over and over. "The winds are coming." I was supposed to go to Long Island, New York, to go minister with a friend of mine named Matt Sorger at his Open Heaven Conference. I think that's what it was. And I wasn't able to go, and I was having to rest. The next day, I'm hearing the word, "The winds are coming." I get on a plane from Nashville, fly to Baltimore, and I'm supposed to then fly from Baltimore on Southwest Airlines to Long Island. Winds 160, 180 knots an hour are blowing as the plane takes off and we're flying. And I am, and it's, and the plane is jostling all over the place. And I'm literally praying, saying, "Lord, put Gabriel on one wing and put Michael on the other and steady this thing." And the nose of the plane comes down, the nose is up in the air because the winds were still 60 knots an hour when we land. And then the nose comes down and everybody applauds. And I'm going, "Thank you, God. Thank you for your angels." Now, what was interesting is that all of the airports completely up and down the East Coast were shut down. Why? Because of the winds. The Holy Spirit had told me the day before at least 20 times, "The winds are coming." So I'm going, "Well, the winds came." So here am I now stuck in Baltimore, and I have to stay all night in another hotel that I don't want to stay in. The next morning, I was supposed to start the conference off. The next morning, the winds have died down. I was just wanting to go home, but they rearranged the entire conference for me to do the last night. So I go. I get there in time for the last session. I lie down on the bed in the hotel room for about 15 minutes. And when I do, the Holy Spirit says to me again, "The winds are coming." And I'm going, "Wait a second. They already came. The winds already came. What do you mean the wind?" And then I settle myself. It says, "The winds are coming." All right. Okay. The winds are coming. And then he expects to me that he's going to give me detailed words of knowledge in the worship. And I go, okay, whatever. Okay. So armor bearer comes to get me. It's time for the service. It's worship. I'm sitting there. I have my journal. I have my Bible. I'm worshiping. I have my eyes closed. And a wind blows by my face. And I go, that's interesting. This reminds me of being with Bob Jones. Did you feel it? I open up my eyes. I look up in the ceiling. I look around for the air vents. I can't find anything. And I'm going, whatever. Close my eyes. I feel the wind. Go by my face again. I know this sounds crazy to some of you, and some of you, this is giving sanity to you. And the wind blows by my face again. And I'm going like, what? Open up my eyes. Look all over. I'm looking for the air vent. There's no wind. There's no air conditioning vent, whatever you're blowing down on me. No heat vent, whatever it is. There isn't. Close my eyes a third time. Wind blows by me. And I tune in and I go, I'm worshiping Jesus. Okay. I want you to understand this. I'm not seeking experience. I'm worshiping God, worshiping Jesus. Wind blows by me and I go, I get it. I opened up my eyes in the natural, but my spiritual eyes are now fully open, and an angel comes, blows in, hovering right in front of me in a white satin garment with a shofar, blows the shofar in my face. There's a gold sash from the left shoulder down to the right side of the waist. And on this gold sash, I could read a name written on it. And it said, Israel Awakening. And then I get all kinds of words of knowledge given to me. I write this stuff down. It's time for me to speak. I get up. I do whatever I'm trying to do. It doesn't seem like I'm getting very far. So I start giving out these words of knowledge. I say, there's somebody named Daniel. He's from someplace called Schenectady. I'm hoping there was a Schenectady. There was one Daniel, and he was from Schenectady. And then I call forth, I think it was for Maria's, and maybe it was Elizabeth's. And there would be 12 of them. Well, sure enough, there was. And so then I'll call them all up and pray for them, and the Lord bless them, and et cetera. And then I'm going like, okay. And I start to change my message to about angelic intervention through intercession. And then I just stopped in the middle of it, and I start telling my experience that the winds are coming. And I had actually drawn in a journal, and I had all this written down. Then an angel named Israel Awakening was coming. Matt Sorger gets up, takes a microphone. He has his journal with him. And then he takes the microphone. It's his meeting. And he goes, well, I have written in my journal that there was going to be an angel that was going to come with James Galt to the meeting tonight. And its name would be Israel Awakening. And we're two witnesses. We both had it written down. We're able to show everybody. And then we prayed for the release of the angel named Israel Awakening. That's a whole nother subject, but I'm just sharing that with you because the winds are coming. They're the winds of change. And there's winds concerning Israel. And there's an awakening that's coming to awaken the body of Christ to her role in supporting Israel in prayer and in good deeds. And there's an awakening coming to the Jewish people in diaspora around the world to be awakened unto their calling and who they are. And there's an awakening that is beginning and will happen in the land of Israel itself, where they will be awakened and must be for their calling. Well, a lot of you know that also in 1993, on the Day of Atonement, in our home in Leesburg, Missouri at the time, and I've lived here in the Nashville, Tennessee area for 17 years now, something like that. But way back in 1993 on the Day of Atonement, which was our oldest son's birthday, I have been teaching at the Grace Training Center in Kansas City. I come home, I go to sleep. My wife was already in bed asleep, and a lightning bolt crashes in our backyard. I have to do the microwave version of this. And then light from the lightning bolt comes through the bedroom window. I wake up, the digital clock says 11:59, and a man is standing at the end of our bed. A supernatural ball of light sits over our dresser for 5 hours, illuminated our room for 5 hours. And the man standing at the end of the bed looks right at me, and he says, "Watch your wife. I'm about to speak to her." I trembled and I shook for a minute, and the clock turned to midnight, and then the manifested appearance of the angel left. The manifested presence increased, and all of a sudden sits up in bed. She's awake. We're awake together now at midnight. I turned to her and I whispered and I said, "Anne, an angel has just come." I did not tell her what he said. And we waited and we shook and we prayed in bed together for 24 minutes. And she used to say, "Well, like a good man, he fell back to sleep." And it's true. And she was left with God and the angels. And that night, angels came and laid hands on her, laid them on her back, and she got sovereignly delivered of a spirit of rejection and fear of man. And that was when she became anointed as a warrior and anointed as a woman leader and preacher by the fire of God, by the call of God, by the grace of God, and by the angels of God. And it opened the door to 9 straight weeks of angelic visitations. Well, how about recently? Well, I sold my family farm in Franklin this last July in 2013. Excuse me. Yes, 2013, July 2013. And I moved into a new place in Franklin. I just thought that when I was going to move into my new place, that activity was going to start all over again. So, in December, I believe it was. No, it was in July after I'd moved in. I'm asleep, but I was anticipating. I was asleep, and an angel comes and stands at the end of my bed. I wake up, and the room was filled with a manifested presence of destiny. There's an angel I'd seen before. I hadn't seen this angel for 26 years. The angel was dressed in a military uniform. It was a warrior angel. And all the angel said was, "Attention! Be on the alert!" And then took off. I couldn't go back to sleep if I wanted to. I was so wired. I was so energized. A warrior angel, "Attention! Be on the alert!" That's the hour we're in right now. It's a fresh call to the watchmen on the walls. It's a fresh call to prayer for the Middle East. It's a fresh call that is attention. I was awakened. It's an awakening again. It's an awakening call. It's time for the watchmen to be re-energized, to be back on the walls if you happen to leave. And I pray that you haven't. But if you have, I just say, attention! Be on the alert that God wants to use you. He wants to move through you. And he wants to powerfully move in these hours. And it's time for the shields of the earth belong to the Lord. And for us to call forth for a fresh homeland security prayer initiative for your nation and for Israel. Well, let me go back now to scripture again. How do angels get released anyway? Psalm 103 has verse 20 and 21 gives us some major keys. Psalm 103, I'm going to start in verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you who you works of his in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's go back to verse 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who do what? Perform his word. Oh, doing what? Obeying the voice. This is very important. Obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him doing his will. So how do angels get released? How do angels function? They obey the voice of his word, mighty in strength, performing his word, obeying the voice of his word. So there's at least three ways this works. Number one, God, by his own selection, by his own choice, speaks to the heavenly host in the heavens and says, go forth. And the angels go forth from God the Father's command into the earth realm, rendering service, delivering the message, releasing healing, stirring pools of healing, Bethesda, etc., etc. They go forth performing, obeying, and performing the voice of his word. Another way it works. Man in the earth realm has a cry called prayer and intercession. And it's called help. And man in the earth realm says, help! And then God in heaven, our prayers arise into the highest of the heavens. And then they go into the courtroom. And now God does what? Does God respond or initiate? Well, this one, God initiates and he just speaks. Second, God responds. What's he responding to? Man's invitation. Man's invitation is called prayer. It's called help. And so man's invitation arises to the highest of the heavens. God now responds to man's invitation and he says, go forth! In response to the cry for help, and angels are released, obeying the voice of his word. What's the third way that this could happen? Have you ever had, like, you've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, or you've heard, as it were, the words of Christ in your heart? Faith comes by hearing, Romans says, in hearing the words of Christ. And so, have you ever had, like, a knowing, a certainty, a certain, like, rise of supernatural confidence rises up on the inside of you. Now, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and then you go forth, and then something rises up inside you. It's called the river of God that Jesus prophesied in the book of John. And now your innermost being will come forth, the rivers of living water, and poosh, and then you just, like, go, and then something comes upon you, and something comes out of you, and it's a supernatural culture of faith, and you just go, change! Let the winds come, or you might say, angels, go forth. Now, you're not commanding angels, but angels now do what? They obey the voice of his word. That his voice has now been heard, not only in heaven, but if you're born again, Christ lives in you. Christ has spoken inside of you, and now you are the megaphone giving expression to his voice. Now, you're getting it. Psalm 102, bless the Lord, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. And now in this situation, he speaks in us, and then out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. We become a voice echoing God's word and God's voice that resonates within us. A spirit of faith is released. And it's like, and you just know something has happened. Something has changed. Those are at least three ways that I know that angels are released. I love this stuff. And I love God. Now I'm going to go back. I'm going to read to you again from another chapter. Chapter 9, Angelic Encounters on Discerning the Angelic Presence. And, yeah. Okay, so let me just read a little bit, you know, from this. And there's the whole realm of discerning the spirits and seducing and familiar spirits and nine tests to a scriptural test to, you know, discerning and all of that, and that's really important, and it's really, really important, but that's not what I'm teaching in this particular lesson. From discerning spirits with your five senses. At the beginning of this chapter, I made the point that not only discerning equipment we possess, in addition to our Holy Spirit anointed human spirits, which can sometimes be called our sixth sense, consists of five bodily senses: sight, hearing, smell, taste, or touch. None of us end up using all of our senses to the same degree. We tend to specialize because of our God-given personalities and types of experiences. And at the same time, we need to remember that if we find ourselves in the midst of an unusual spiritual experience, it might be one of our less used senses that can best contribute to our discernment. For example, for many people, sight is a biggie. What if one day one of these vision-oriented people begins to smell something, that it's not just a smell? Nothing else is happening. It's not a good smell. It's an acid smell of ammonia. Ah, bad smell, he thinks. So therefore, a bad spirit must be in the room. He scrutinizes the place, but his eyes tell him nothing. He does notice that he doesn't feel bad. On the contrary, he feels fine, merely curious, somewhat prophetic. When he starts to smell it, he happened to be interceding for his church. Oh, he's in the church, as a matter of fact, but he's quite sure that nothing in the vicinity, wooden pews, old carpet on the floor, hymn books or Bibles, could be carrying this unmistakable smell. It reminds me of when I was a kid in school after lunch, and the lunch workers would wash down the lunchroom tables down with ammonia and water. Ammonia is a cleaning agent. God, what are you trying to tell me here? In all likelihood, there's no sulfur-breathing evil spirit in the room at all. Almost for sure, no human janitor had just come through with ammonia-soaked rag, but probably an angel did just come through carrying the message from God, I'm going to cleanse this church. As the intercessor figures this out, he can pray according to God's will, and he can expect to see this prophetic sense fulfilled. It really takes discernment to know what to do. Basically, discernment is perception. Sometimes it's as simple as inner knowledge, a gut feeling that we cannot explain. This kind of spiritual perception is often so subtle that we can easily miss it or dismiss it as a mere hunch. But the more we yield our natural senses to the Lord, the more God can anoint them and make them more sensitive to discern. It's progressive and unfolding. I saw. I heard. I smelled, I tasted, I felt. I don't want anybody to be confused when I start talking about getting discernment through feeling. It's certainly true that we can feel or sense spirits, but here I want to refer strictly to physical touch, the kind of feeling that happens through the nerves in your skin. And yes, angels do touch people to get their attention, touched by an angel, to communicate with them, and sometimes they're even bringing God's judgments. In Zechariah 4:1, then the angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man awakened from sleep. Acts 12:23, amplified. And at once an angel of the Lord smote him and cut him down because he did not give God the glory, the preeminence and kingly majesty that belonged to him as the supreme ruler. And he was eaten up by worms and died. Acts 12:7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick! Get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Your sense of touch comes into play when your skin and your scalp tingles, and also when you feel pain that is meant to communicate a message to you. At times I receive physical pains in my heart, and that indicates to me that some kind of heart wound has occurred in another person's life. These pains alert me to be ready to minister freedom and healing to the other person. Holy Spirit, we present to you our eyes, our natural eyes, and the eyes of our heart. And we ask that you anoint them to perceive, to distinguish, and to differentiate. We present all of our senses to you, and we ask you to keep us on track. Anoint our senses to perceive heavenly realities. Help us to steer clear of counterfeit spiritual experiences. And may complete access be given to the word of the Lord in our lives. We are covered with Jesus' blood. Amen and amen. Wow. I'm giving you a lot of stuff. And this kind of becomes a microcosm of a whole lot of teaching that I don't want to only teach. I'm now going to pray. And I'm going to pray for you, for your senses to be enlightened. I'm going to pray for you to not only walk in kindness and hospitality so as to entertain angels unaware, I am going to speak a word of impartation. As it is true, freely, freely you've received, freely, freely give. We have authority to give away to others what we have experienced, to help impart it, help bring them into a new place. When somebody's gotten healed, They want to pray for people to get healed. When someone's gotten saved, they just want to tell everybody about Jesus because they want them to get saved. When someone's gotten an answered prayer, they just want to pray because they want other people's prayers answered. When someone gets delivered, they just want to give away what they've received. When someone's had God encounters, they just want to give them away and speak that which they have received. They might impart it to others for Jesus Christ's sake. This is for Jesus Christ's sake. This is for the glory of God's sake. This is not just about getting more goosebumps. This is not about getting another notch on your belt or however you want to say it. This is about the holy reverential fear of the Lord. So right now we just worship you, God. You say you're amazing. You're awesome. You're beautiful. You're majestic. And we love you, Jesus. And we love the Word of God. And we love God the Father Almighty. And we love Holy Spirit. Right now, I bring these lovely people before you. And I ask that you, if you could, if it's possible, put your hand right on your heart. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you heighten your senses to the Holy Spirit, and that they will walk in new levels of discerning the spirits, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to perceive, distinguish, differentiate, and know the motivating spirit behind a manifestation. But right now, in particular, angels aware, I speak into this realm, and I'm calling forth the eyes which have not seen will be opened to see. And I pray the eyes of your heart be enlightened in the name of Jesus. Pray that your hearing will open up and you'll hear the word of the Lord and you'll even hear the angels. You'll hear the angelic activity. Calling forth for your sense of smell and your sense of taste to be heightened. And especially I pray that your heart will be softened and sensitized to know the very moving of the shadow of God itself. Now, not only do we pray for our senses to practice our senses to discern good and evil. I speak right now. I have supernatural faith coming on me right now. I speak warrior angels being released right now. I see warrior angels being released, guardian protectors right now, warrior angels getting released into your life. I see warrior angels on assignment, warrior angels being released. I see them fighting in your behalf, in behalf of your family. And this deals with family salvation. And I see angels being released. I feel angels being released. I just see angels being released, warrior angels to fight and like cut some of the warfare off away from around you and your family, your call and your destiny. And I see angels of his presence. And they're going to come visit some of your homes. And you're just going to sense this otherly dimension. And they're going to inhabit the praises of God's people. And the angels are coming. The winds are coming. The winds are coming. The winds are coming. The winds are coming. I declare it's upgrade time. So whatever level you're at right now, it's upgrade time. It's upgrade time. It's time to come up higher, to higher sensitivity, higher experience, and not only entertaining angels unaware, but partnering with angels aware. And even angels that stir pools, come be released with healing in your wings and release a culture and an atmosphere of a supernatural healing of God. May heaven invade earth. And I speak out of the book of Genesis and I say, Jacob's ladder has already come down and God stands at the top of the ladder and angels are ascending and descending because they are all ready, hear, angels, aware. God bless you. This is James Gall, Counters Network. Just been a delight to come into your home and share this wonderful, inspiring, scripture-filled, and testimonial-filled, just awareness message. Angels, aware. We are not alone. We are not alone. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are welcoming heaven's host to come join us, aid us, and strengthen us. They are ready to come. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you for letting me come into your home and into your life. And I bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you.